Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, the most important thing, Brett, and thank you for having me, but the most important thing is to recognize that Iran has been at war with us for at least 47 years, all the way from 1979. People may forget they took our embassy hostage 444 days. They were responsible for the killings of 300 plus Marines in Lebanon in the early 1980s. If you ask people about Iraq, what was the source of many of our casualties in Iraq, you'll get estimates as high as 75 or 80% of them were due to Iranian-made roadside bombs. And so they've been at war for us a long time.
Yeah, this is a voice we haven't heard much of in a long time, but Condoleezza Rice, former, of course, Secretary of State, National Security Advisor, I think, for a while. But she is, could have been president, in my opinion. I wish she had run for president. I would still vote for her at the age of 71. She is almost old enough now to actually be president. In Iraq, the IEDs were coming from Iran. In fact, David, are you, can you pull him up for a second? David, you worked IED disposal and identification in Iraq. You have firsthand knowledge of this. True or false, a lot of the IEDs that you dealt with in Iraq came from Iran.
I would say 80 to 90% of the IEDs we found had Iranian components and had been assembled there.
So when people are losing life and limb in Iraq, they're losing it because the Iranians supplied these horrible weapons to insurgents, whoever, in Iraq or the other side, whatever the case may be. The technology came from Iran. All right. I know people, you know, they hear Condi Rice, and of course, she's a very credible person, but, you know, I have a guy I know who's right here in the studio that I wanted to check with. And by the way, as always, thank you for your service and all that. I appreciate it. So she was on, I think it was Special Report yesterday with Brett Baer, and, you know, again, just one of the great adults in the room kind of thing, because I know a lot of people, you know, don't love the Trump administration. Even Republicans don't love the Trump administration. I myself have a lot of questions about the Trump administration. And so you might wonder, well, what will somebody else who has a lot of knowledge in this area think? And she laid out the case as clearly as you can explain it in exactly the same fact pattern as we've heard from Marco Rubio, from President Trump, from, you know, Secretary Hegseth, whoever the case may be. Iran has been at war with us since 1979. The only difference is now we're actually participating.
They also have developed the military capability to have reach outside of the boundaries of Iran, including Hezbollah and Hamas, which they both arm and equip and continue to arm and equip even after the events of the summer.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, we take out their nuclear capabilities in the summer and they still engage in this behavior. And if you look at it from their perspective, you think, why? Well, because the enemy is not willing to come back at them. You know, Israel's not willing to attack. The U.S. is not willing to attack, and that's all there is to it. Why would they stop? There's been no reason to stop.
And I myself negotiated 4 Security Council resolutions calling them a threat to international peace and security under Chapter 7, the strongest chapter of the U.N. Security Council resolutions, because of their nuclear ambitions. So to say that this regime was not a threat, I think it's simply not. It's ahistorical. They have been a threat for a long time.
Yeah, and that's when I see these polls about how, you know, people who do or do not support the action, I always just want to wonder. I do, and I want to ask, you know, how many of you know where Iran is on a map? How many of you know the history? How many of you understand what Iran has been doing, what that Ayatollah has been doing for 37 years, and what the Ayatollah Khomeini had been doing before Khomeini came into office, and what the country has stood for, what they have accomplished in the region, and why we're doing this now? Well, the why now is the one question. The why now and what after, I mean, that's a fair question. But for people who want to pretend like, you know, Iran is not a legitimate target of military action, they have been a legitimate target of military action since 79. Think hostage crisis, right? They have never been not a legitimate target of military action. The only question has been prudence, how big the cost versus how big the reward, and so forth.
There is this skittishness or skepticism out there, even if you're wholeheartedly supporting what the military is doing every day.
Well, because there is uncertainty with any military operation and what the aftermath might be. But I think if the goal of the administration is to render Iran incapable of using its military forces outside of its borders, of threatening our neighbors, our allies, of threatening our bases abroad, which we're seeing they are capable of doing, if it is trying to deny them a conventional umbrella for their nuclear ambitions, that is a worthy goal.
And this is what I've been saying since Saturday, you know, when we came live on Saturday to talk about this and ever since, is when you think about, you know, the ethics of war, the justification for war, the domestic analogy, which is it makes it easier to think about international affairs when you think about living in a subdivision with every country as its own house. What would you be allowed to do? Well, this kind of neighbor, you would be justified in acting against in your neighborhood if the police wouldn't do it for you. And internationally, there are no police. There's sort of a, you know, neighborhood watch light we call the UN. But if somebody were attacking, harassing, damaging property, harming physically, even damaging, you know, threatening neighbors and their own household, you would be completely justified in acting. And that's the issue here. That's what's going on here. Now, what to come next? That's, again, that's a fair question. We'll come back to that in a second. We got John Pickens is out today. PJ is sitting in with Traffic on the Fives.
Traffic is brought to you by Florida West EDA. Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to create high-wage jobs and private capital investment that grows Scambia County's tax base. The front gate of NAS Pensacola is backed up to Palmetto now. We have reports of blinking lights at Gulf Breeze Parkway and Gondolier. Be aware of that. Also reports of some morning fog, U.S. 98 through Navarre. I'm PJ with your traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Condi Rice talking to Brett Baer yesterday on Fox News.
Now, what comes after? People are, of course, concerned about that. But if you can render Iran essentially incapable of military action against us and against our allies, that's worthy. And I think what they're trying to do is to neuter Iran as a military power in the region.
That's such a great way to put it, to neuter them so that they are incapable of, well, by analogy, you know, doing the things that they do all over the place. By the way, I don't know why she says allies. It's a weird way to say that word. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things that I'll hold against Condi Rice, that's pretty small potatoes.
And by the way, the Iranians, who I think made a strategic blunder in attacking the Gulf states like the UAE or Kuwait or others, is demonstrating that it is its goal to be a destabilizing force in the Middle East.
Yeah, absolutely. They have shown that, and sometimes these words sort of under-describe it. We say words like destabilizing, and it's like calling dropping a bomb kinetic action. It's such a sanitized word. They are trying to kill people, children, women, innocents across the region. They are trying to topple governments across the region. They are especially trying to kill the Jews. And they, by their indiscriminate response with their missiles, that most of which we have, you know, intercepted and prevented, and their drones, but some of which, of course, have gotten through, they are willing to kill anybody in their sort of death spasms as they're being taken down. They don't care. They just want to kill whoever they think is the infidel. You know, and the militant Shias in Iran think that the Sunnis are the infidel and the Jews are the infidel and the white people are the infidel and everybody's the infidel. And they actually did shoot one missile at Turkey, and it got intercepted. That does raise other questions about, you know, NATO allies and what Article 5 would mean for mutual self-defense. Kind of an interesting question. But so far, they've been very careful not to shoot anything at Turkey, by the way.
You can still be concerned about what may come after. You may can still be concerned.
Oh, sorry, I think I played that one already. I'm a big fan of just listening to people when they know what they're talking about, because you can hear me say it, and you can hear Trump say it, and you can hear Hegseth say it, and you can hear Rubio say it, and you're like, well, you know, what do they know? Well, you know, Condi Rice. By the way, I'm getting a bunch of texts, and this is wonderful. So many texts in here. Condi Rice would have been my vote for president. I wish she would have run for president. She definitely could have been president. No, that's true. Somebody else texting in that in, you know, 1953, Eisenhower had to restore Democratic leader in Iran that had been over. That's correct. That's correct. And, you know, had to put that back in place. But, yeah, anyway, knowing the history of the region, I understand, you know, unless you've been paying attention to foreign affairs for a long time, it's easy to miss the significance of Iran. And if you're under 30, you know, when was the last time you heard anything about Iran? Except that, you know, every once in a while those people talk about how they're behind Hamas and how they were responsible, really, for the January, for the October attack. And, you know, unless you pay attention, what is Hezbollah? Where is that even located? You know, what about the Houthis? Who cares about that? You know, it. In certain circles, you pay attention and you understand. And in other circles, I mean, if it's not on TikTok, you know, it's not a beauty aid. What do people really know about this stuff? Well, not much.
Well, I think you have to see this as a series, really, of events, starting with October 7th, when Iran demonstrated that it probably wasn't possible to deter their tentacles like Hamas. I'm quite certain that October 7th and Hamas could not have happened without Iranian training and equipment, maybe even planning.
Absolutely. And if Iran wasn't doing what it was doing in the region, particularly with arming, training, equipping Hamas, and encouraging, they want Hamas to attack Israel, of course, then the October 7th attack would have never happened, and the war in Gaza would have never happened had it not been for Iran. We talk about destabilization. You can blame the response on Israel, or you can blame the response on the attack that was caused by Iran.
And then, of course, you had the events of June when the administration decided, along with the Israelis, to try and at least degrade and maybe even seriously set back Iranian nuclear capabilities. In order to do that, they were able to suppress Iranian air defenses. And so Iran is in a sense, defenseless then.
And by the way, that's another element of this that I don't think has been made much of, is after last year's strike, Iran's ability to prevent a strike was already degraded. The why now question? Well, because they're vulnerable. We've already done the preliminary work. You know, and if we wait, the longer we wait, the less easy it gets to do anything else.
And then you see that the Iranians are rebuilding their nuclear capability, that they're rearming Hamas and Hezbollah, and that they are essentially at this moment defenseless. They won't always be defenseless. And so the decision is to really, at this point, take care of it and render them incapable of those activities. So I see it as a series of decisions. I do think that
bold ones.
Big ones, but a worthy goal.
As Bear jumps in there, bold ones and big ones, she says, absolutely.
Of course, we'll have to watch and see, but I do think that the question of making sure that you don't get mission creep is an important one.
Yeah, we have seen many other engagements develop in ways that Vietnam is the classic example, but others as well, and we certainly don't want to be involved in any kind of long-term ground engagement in Iran, especially not as we're thinking about the future with China, although that is also being influenced by this. But still, it's just, you know, that's right. And there are things that you can look at this war and say, hey, morally, ethically, totally justified. Practically worth the cost? Fair question to ask. And what happens next? Fair question to ask. Are we going to get sucked into some bigger engagement? Yeah, I mean, that's, yes, good. You know, how much is it costing us? How much is it costing them? The cost of their drones versus our interceptors and the cost of our deployment of our forces. I mean, yes, those are all fair questions. But the basic question of, did the Iranian leadership deserve to be removed from power and killed? I mean, there's no question about that. That's not even, if you're questioning that, you're not a serious participant in this discussion.
Taking care of Iranian military operations, military capabilities is very important. The other thing that this does do is it, particularly if you can do something about the security forces in Iran, maybe it opens the possibilities for the Iranian people themselves to try to determine their own future. But we're a long way from that.
We are a long way from that, but that is certainly the hope, as the president has laid out. 623 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Condi for president. Come on. She's only 71. She's still young. All right. I'm Andrew McKay.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9:30 for the Pensacola Expert Panel with me, Eldon Scott, your host, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing barbecue prizes, and hear how Sonny's Barbecue is helping to build a strong Pensacola. We're spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Make sure to tell Sonny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
It's tax season, and at LifeLock, we know you're tired of numbers. But here's a big one you need to hear. Billions. That's the amount of money and refunds the IRS has flagged for possible identity fraud. Now here's another big number. 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity is stolen, we'll fix it guaranteed. One last big number. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com for the threats you can't control. Terms apply.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You're busy. You just need to know what's happening.
What's happening?
Pensacola Right Now
with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Magic Legs.
Lieutenant Dan, you got magic legs. 626 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. John Pickens is out today, but PJ, which is always kills me when I'm trying to get all this figured out, because PJ and JP, it's very confusing for my brain. Anyway, PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Traffic brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. The front gate of NS Pensacola is now backed up to Gulf Beach Highway. Also have reports of blinking lights at Gulf Breeze Parkway and Gondolier. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Oh, the Aldi, the old Winn-Dixie at 9th Avenue opens today. Local Pulse Pensacola reporting on that and confirmed elsewhere as well. But they open at 9, and the first 200 people get a gift bag full of Aldi stuff and a gift card as part of the Aldi Golden Ticket giveaway program. I mean, if you do not get to go inside the Wonka factory, then I do not think you should call it the Golden Ticket. But, okay, there you go. So, finally, the old Winn-Dixie is going to be back in operation as the new Aldi, and you can let the lamenting and complaining begin. Because I know if you love Winn-Dixie, Aldi is not Winn-Dixie. I'll just put it that way. But if you love Aldi, then, you know, well, Winn-Dixie's not Aldi. So, yeah. Whatever. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the final two soldiers killed in the Iranian strike over the weekend have been identified. The two were officers serving in the Army Reserve's 103rd Sustainment Command out of Des Moines. They were killed when an Iranian strike hit that port in Kuwait. Four other service members killed were identified earlier this week. The United Cajun Navy wants to help find Nancy Guthrie. The 84-year-old mother of Savannah Guthrie went missing from Tucson, Arizona. Now, more than a month ago, the Cajun Navy is offering tactical plans and resources to the Pima County Sheriff's Department, the agency leading that search. And March is here, which can only mean the countdown to the NCAA March Madness basketball tournament is on. Selection Sunday is set for March 15th for the men's and women's brackets. The first four contests for the men begin March 17th. The first round games begin March 19th.
Can they promise me a fight on the women's side in the first round?
Well,
because if not, I'm not interested.
No promises.
I mean,
we already
did that here. I don't know. Girls will be girls.
Where do you go from there?
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Somebody sent me a text. It's a good note. And I wanted to, you know, quick do a check on that. Said, you know, one of the things that, you know, is true about Condi Rice is she speaks fluent Russian, which would be a nice skill for a head of state to have, right? To understand the Russians in their own language. And I was curious, because I didn't know the answer, what other languages she speaks. You want to take a shot at this, PJ? You want to take a guess, Condoleezza Rice, how many languages she speaks in addition to English and fluent Russian?
8 to 10.
Oh, come on. Who speaks 10 languages?
It's Condi Rice.
You
come on. She can do
anything.
Fair
enough. She has varying degrees of fluency in French, Spanish, and German. So the only thing she's missing, yeah, I mean, maybe she knows Chinese and she hasn't told anybody. But just think about that. Do you expect the president of Russia to speak English? Of course you do. Do you expect the president of China to speak English? Of course you do. Do you expect the president of the United States to speak Russian, Chinese, Farsi, you know, Persian? I mean, German, anything other than English? Sad. I mean, really. It's not that you can't be a good president without it, but wouldn't it be nice, you know? Wouldn't it be a Beach Boys song if you had a president who could speak? Anyway, if she wants to run, I'm voting for her. I'll wear the buttons. We could get a black woman elected president if it were Condi Rice.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. Iran launched a new wave of attacks at Israel, American bases, and countries around the region, threatening that the U.S. would bitterly regret torpedoing an Iranian warship in the Indian Ocean.
That is the first such attack since World War II. Iran's Navy is all but wiped out, according to Pentagon leaders, and the U.S. military also firing off long-range precision-guided munitions for the first time in combat.
That's Fox's Douglas Ader. The House preparing to vote on a war powers resolution that would halt the president's attack on Iran after the Senate defeated a similar measure along party lines. Fox's Chad Pergram says
one senior Republican supported the president, however, is urging caution.
President Trump has made a bold and tough decision, but there are risks involved.
That's Senator Mitch McConnell. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3, 64 degrees right now. We've got cloudy skies this morning. Our full forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson is on the way in just a few minutes. Well, Pensacola is rolling out the red carpet for the Sun Belt Conference basketball tournament with banners throughout downtown and welcome signs at team hotels. Visit Pensacola President and CEO Darren Schaefer says hospitality makes a big impression.
We'll take materials and welcome banners out to the hotels where the teams are staying at, and it's all part of being a hospital destination. But we're really lucky because the thing we hear the most often is, hey, whether they're walking down Palo Fox Street or stepping into a Walmart, they just feel like the people here are very friendly and welcoming, and that's a great reputation to have.
At last year's tournament brought in more than 8,600 attendees and generated $5.3 million in economic impact. And Schaefer says northern schools especially get excited to escape the tough winters for Pensacola's 70-degree weather. The tournament runs through Sunday at the Bay Center. A 17-year-old is in the hospital with serious injuries after his truck overturned off a bridge in Cantonment Monday. FHP says the teen lost control of his truck on East Kingsfield near County Road 297A. Escambia Fire Rescue and EMS responded. A medical helicopter took the teen to the hospital. The cause of that crash remains under investigation. Well, Pensacola is installing a warning system at Graffiti Bridge. It'll detect overheight vehicles and flash lights, telling drivers to stop. Mayor D.C. Reeves says those sensors will give drivers enough time to pull over before they hit the trestle.
This sensor will know if you're too tall, and you will be not by volume, but by lights flashing and warning signs in front of you will be yelled at to please stop and to pull over. So more than just a sign that says low bridge that we've had historically. So, again, I can't promise that it's going to stop every single person, but this will be the best offensive yet to stop the undefeated bridge.
The signs will instruct drivers to turn into the boat launch to turn around, and Reeves says that chimes were considered but rejected because boats going into the launch would trigger them. Construction starts this summer. Escambia County veterans can get free help today with benefits in Molino. The Veterans Services Office is hosting an outreach event at the Molino Community Center on Highway 95A North. That'll start at 9 o'clock this morning and go until about 2 o'clock this afternoon. You can walk in, no appointments needed. Veterans can get help filing VA claims, reviewing benefits, and reevaluating disability ratings. Representatives from Legal Services of North Florida, the United Way, and other agencies will be on hand for that event. Pensacola makes history on Saturday as the first passenger cruise ship pulls into port. The American Symphony will dock at Plaza de Luna at noon. It'll be carrying about 175 passengers finishing a trip from New Orleans. The 269-foot American Cruise Lines vessel typically sails on the Mississippi River, but they've been offering Gulf Coast cruises this year. More visits are planned throughout March and then again in November and December. The city says they expect to collect about $5,000 in port fees from the visit. 635 at News Radio 92.3. And let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Good morning, PJ.
Good morning. Traffic brought to you by BathFitter.com, the leader in bathroom innovation. With the BathFitter PermaFit solution, your new tub or shower is built to fit perfectly and guaranteed for life. Visit BathFitter.com. The front gate of NAS Pensacola is backed up to Gulf Beach Highway. Also seeing problems at the back gate of NAS Pensacola. Blue Angel Parkway is backed up to almost Loop Road. Reports of also blinking lights at Gulf Breeze Parkway and Gondolier, I-10 and 110, both flowing smooth. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. And now our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be seeing partly sunny skies today with a high near 75 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 66 degrees. Heading into Friday, partly sunny skies, 20% chance of a stray shower, high near 75. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 65 degrees. Going into Saturday, partly cloudy skies, high near 76. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 66 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, 64 degrees. We've got cloudy skies today. Your next news at 7 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Oil prices are sharply higher by more than 2% on supply concerns as the Iran conflict intensifies. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $77.08 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $83.59 per barrel. Treasury yields moved higher this morning as investors continue to digest the U.S.-Iran war. The benchmark 10-year Treasury yield was up 4 basis points to 4.12%. The 30-year Treasury bond also added more than 4 basis points to yield at 4.758%. Federal Reserve officials said they are closely monitoring oil price increases stemming from the war in Iran. They might pause interest rate cuts because of it. But the Fed is likely to soon have a new chair in Kevin Warsh, who has pledged to cut rates. Warsh's view of inflation does not put much emphasis on factors like oil, so he will likely be confident in cutting rates if oil prices stay up. Futures are slightly lower. Yesterday, the Dow gained 238, the NASDAQ up 290, the S&P 500 up 52. That's your money now.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent are required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
The team's looking good this season.
I think so. Man, I miss playing football. Ever since I turned 40, I just can't find that fire I used to have.
Think it could be lower testosterone?
What do you mean?
I was feeling the same way. After 40, the body has less testosterone, and men lose their edge. That's why I take Nugenix Total T2.
That's the testosterone booster, right?
Yes, but Total T2 is their brand new formula that skyrockets nitric oxide levels in as little as 3 hours. Since I started taking it, I've been lifting like when we played for Coach Carter. My energy is way up, and it even spiced up things between me and the missus.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles?
Yep, just send a text.
Text SPARK to 215215 for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T2, the next generation testosterone booster. Text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, our newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text SPARK to 215215. That's SPARK to 215215.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbary Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbary Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
You recognize the smell of marijuana.
But it's not just a smell. It's a warning. If you can smell it, harmful chemicals are entering your lungs, bloodstream, and brain, and our children too. Every inhale affects brain development and triples the risk of serious respiratory issues. Protect your kids and grandkids from the dangers of marijuana. Their future is on the line. This message is sponsored by the Department of Children and Families and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in today at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
When the news gets complicated, you don't need more volume. You need better questions.
Better questions.
Hugh Hewitt sits down with lawmakers, legal experts, journalists, and insiders, and actually lets them talk.
Lets them talk.
Long-form interviews, real context, and time to understand what's really happening behind the headline. Hugh Hewitt.
Hugh Hewitt.
Weekdays, 2 to 4, on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local. Dependable.
Dependable.
Good morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, a recent friend, a new friend, relatively, Matt Milestrup. He is the harbor pilot in Pensacola, and that means that any of the big ships, he takes them out and he brings them in. He makes sure that they operate safely. When you see that boat out there that says pilot, that means Matt and his team are involved in making things happen safely for traffic across our, across the bay. Matt, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, great to be back, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Great to have you. And by the way, I still, want to thank you. You put us on a tour. You basically took us out on the Bar Tobuk, I think was the boat that we were on, the ship that we were on, and great experience. I know you do that with a lot of people, city council members, and basically, I want to say anybody who wants, but a lot of people wind up getting to it, which I think is a great way to learn about the port. But you just brought in yesterday a pretty big vessel. What was it?
Yeah, to welcome back, the Grit Cement 4 came back in for CEMEX, which is a cement distribution company that has a little plant there on the southeast corner of the port. That's their first trip back this year. They're bringing in 8,000 metric tons of cement powder to power several major projects around the area. So it's good to have them back.
Yeah, and this is one of those kind of like companies that people don't necessarily know a lot about that operates out of the port and has been doing so for an awful long time. And they, prefer to transit their material to us by ship. But CEMEX is a huge part of this community and has been and employs a lot of people, right?
They certainly have. They have been a major partner in the area and involved in a lot of the major projects that people enjoy every day. In fact, the port puts out some great information on their Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn accounts. It's worth looking at if people are interested in the shipping traffic on the harbor. But they noted yesterday that the three projects this ship's going to start feeding cement to are the football stadium at UWF, the new Costco, which is everybody a lot excited up on Nine Mile Road, and then that major interstate project that we're all enjoying on I-10 and Interstate 29. Now, there's all that cement is, or a large portion of it is going to go kind of help make those projects reality.
What a great note. You don't necessarily always get to know what does the material come and do, but in this case, we have three different projects, as you say, the stadium, the Costco on Nine Mile, and then the I-10 29. Long time redesign of that interchange, that it's providing the cement that is going to go make those things happen. That's fantastic. How, you said, 8,000? No, what was your number? How big was the ship? Metric tons? 80,000?
The ship's a little under 10,000 tons.
Okay, got
they're
it.
They're bringing in 8,000 metric tons of product. So I did a little, I looked that up because to that number, doesn't mean much,
right?
It's just a number, but it's the same displacement as one of the Navy's destroyers.
Okay.
And I also, interestingly enough, it was the equivalent of the lattice work that forms the Eiffel Tower, which is pretty fantastic imagery, you know, putting in mind. But yeah, so they came in yesterday, and you know, I put a plug in for some of the other partners. You know, my job is to make sure the ship transits across the waterway safely, and you know, everybody's on the water safe when that big ship goes by. And I, you know, love doing that job, but there are a number of others that made the waterway safe. They're involved yesterday, and I think your listenership might be interested in. I mean, customs always comes aboard when a ship comes in from some other country and inspects manifests and make sure the crew members on board are who they say they are, and that's important. And also, yesterday, the Coast Guard went on the ship after it arrives, which they do periodically for these foreign arrivals. And they inspect their safety gear and their drills and make sure they're doing those safely and look at the engineering plants and, you know, and to make sure it meets our standards. And, you know, they found the ship had a couple of deficiencies, and they're going to make the ship fix those before it gets back underway and transits the waterway again. So, you know, there's a whole team involved in making sure our waterways stay safe, and it's great for people to know that.
We're talking to Matt Malstrup. He is the harbor pilot for the Port of Pensacola. We'll come back to him in just a second. Very interesting note about the Coast Guard. Of course, you're a retired captain from the Coast Guard, and so you're, you know, well familiar with the wide variety of things that the Coast Guard does. We tend to think of them as interdiction and, you know, maybe not much else, but obviously they do a lot of different things, you know, telling people to have their life vest on and their whistle on when they're on their personal watercraft. You know, like there's a whole range of things that the Coast Guard is involved in. Hang on for just a second, Matt. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Andrew. The front gate of NS Pensacola still backed up to Gulf Beach Highway. The back gate along Blue Angel Parkway backed up to Loop Road. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. And back to Matt Malstrup. He is the harbor pilot here for Pensacola. Speaking of, you know, making sure that people, the Coast Guard and their jobs, making sure that people who are on their paddle boards, for example, have their life jackets and their whistles. You don't have to be wearing a life jacket, but you do have to have one on board. Ask me how I know. we got stopped one time. we got stopped by the Coast Guard one time, and they were super nice, but they said, yeah, you got to go home. And you got it, because we didn't know the rules. We thought, it's just a paddle board. Anyway, do you know any of the details? I mean, how serious were these deficiencies that you say the Coast Guard identified on board the Grit Cement yesterday?
I'm not privy to this.
Okay.
I find out, though, because they have a planned departure, and they said, yeah, maybe a little bit delayed. You just kind of see how that goes. So.
Got it. Okay, very good. How many crew, and what's the flagging for the ship?
That crew typically runs about 20 crew members, you know, give or take, and they are flagged out of Panama.
Okay.
Their run, though, for the product is down to Tampico, Mexico, and then up to Pensacola. But they go many. They travel to many other ports in and around the area. I mean, a lot of times they'll go to Tampa. They are widely traveled, and their sister ships are widely traveled.
Very good. Yeah, and it's interesting to think about where all these things originate. Like you said, you know, the original port would be in Mexico, and I will say this: Grit Cement 4 as the cement carrying platform is maybe not the most inventive name. It's a little right on point, but hey, there's no question what it does, right? You know, four-door sedan number 3 is the car we're selling you. Like, it's kind of, you know, it's maybe not the most exotic, but it's very accurate. You know, there's no question. It's not a row, you know, it's not shipping things for, you know, the wind turbines or any of that kind of stuff. Anything else you want to let us know about the ship? I love hearing about this, and I particularly think it's fascinating. Like you said, you can learn it from the Instagram or the Port of Pensacola's Facebook page, which are great about this. And anything else about the, you know, and what the cement is going for through CMEX. Anything else that you want us to know about the ship?
Not really. I mean, this port it receives many specialized, very specialized vessels, pipe layers, cable layers, yep. The roll-on, roll-offs that come in for GE's products that you sailed on. In fact, the ship sitting down there at the port right now, the Williams, the private first-class Wayne Williams, it's the military Sea-Lift Command ship. They're going to wrap up their work here in the next couple months, and they'll be departing in April. So, you know, that if people want to see that, to pay attention to the port's website, and you might be able to watch it sail away.
And in case you're wondering, just because maybe you haven't heard our conversations before, what the harbor pilot does is his job is to have, like, the back of his hand, he knows the channel, he knows what's safe, he knows what's unsafe, and he is the eyes and the directions for when these ships come in. So he doesn't physically steer the ship, but he calls out all the commands and says, you know, this speed, that direction, all of the stuff when and, you know, following the channel. Like, again, he has to have it memorized and, you know, getting the ship safely in and out of the port. Two more real quick things. The cruise ship that's, I think it's here now. I thought I saw Channel 3 was running live video that's actually arrived in port, even though that wasn't your job to bring that one in. Is that right?
Correct. It didn't meet the requirements to have a pilot, or necessitate a pilot. So they came in, and I'm not sure if they're in right now or not.
Okay, fair enough.
I know they're due soon.
And then there's another kind of big profile one coming in a couple of months. Is the Eagle is coming back, right?
It is, yeah. So Memorial Day weekend. So folks might be interested in that. That's the Coast Guard sail training ship. They're going to be arriving with about 150 cadets that they're training during the summer at the beginning of their Sail 250 events, which the first one's in New Orleans. So that's what brings her to our neck of the woods. But she will be in port down at Plaza de Luna on Saturday, the 23rd of May, arrival, and then she'll depart on Memorial Day, the 25th of May. Free tours will be available for folks to come down and take a look at the ship and meet some of the crew and cadets. And it's an amazing ship built before World War II in Germany as a sail training ship. And it was a war prize the Coast Guard's taken and used ever since.
I love that part of the history of that ship, that we basically took their boat and turned it into our training vessel. It's fantastic. I love that. There was one other thing I was going to ask you about with regards to the Eagle. Oh, yeah. So I know you pilot in these large ships. I'm guessing that the Eagle is not, well, you tell me, do you pilot in the Eagle? Is it different for military ships? Like, does the harbor pilot get involved in bringing military ships into the various ports?
Very insightful question. Yes, the military ships, government ships do have an exemption that they can exercise. They are not required to take pilots. Many do because they recognize they don't know the waterway that well. And so in this case, Eagle has opted, they have said that they want to have a pilot. A lot of the Navy ships take pilots, but it's not necessarily mandatory.
Okay.
The home ported ships here, for example, do not take me because they're here all the time.
Yeah, the cutters that are based at NES Pensacola, you know, not to offend, but they don't need you. And be kind of weird if the Coast Guard needed a harbor pilot in their home port. Like, that'd be odd, right? Maybe in a foreign port or in a port that's not their home base, because obviously you guys know it perfectly and they may not know it that well, but it'd be weird if you had like a buoy tender, you know, that needed the harbor pilot, right?
That would be odd. In my former life in the Coast Guard, I did not use pilots regularly. Almost occasionally, when you have, an engine casualty, you might have them come in and help or something like that. So there are situations that would dictate it, but in a general rule, they'll do it themselves.
Very good. And just as you didn't mention it, but I think it's worth knowing, you know, you mentioned how the Coast Guard had identified some deficiencies, and so the grit cement's going to have to remedy those before they leave. Might be delayed a couple of days to get that done. You may see the crew around town, because when these ships come into our port, sometimes they're here for not very long, sometimes they're here for a little bit more extended period of time, but that is economic activity, because they're here in town enjoying Pensacola, spending money, renting hotel rooms, going out to eat, seeing movies, all the kind of stuff that they do, right?
Oh, 100%. And the military Seabiscuit Command ships, the Williams, the big black hole ships sitting at the port,
yeah,
that's being worked on by Offshore Inland, so they're employing tradesmen from the area aboard to get all that work done, and they love this port. The ships that sometimes come over from Alabama, Theodore, the pipe layers, cable layers, that it's very easy access into town, and they definitely love the water, getting down in town and spending some money.
No, it's good stuff for sure. Everybody benefits all around. Plus, it's a great skyline shot. I mean, it's a great view to be able to see these ships. I love it. Matt Milestrup, he is the harbor pilot for Pensacola. Matt, again, thank you for kind of creating this awareness on my part. Thank you for coming on the show to help people understand what's going on at the port whenever we get new ships in. I really appreciate it, and we look forward to talking to you again soon. And thanks for the heads up about the Eagle coming. I know we're all pretty excited about that.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure. Thanks so much. And keep an eye on the Port of Pensacola's posts.
You bet. 6:53 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Culver's knows that everyone appreciates a fresh meal that comes from the heart. Culver's Butter Burger is fresh, never frozen beef seared to perfection, then topped with real Wisconsin cheese and a lightly buttered toasted bun. It's a whole lot more than a burger. It's a taste of home. Lent is here, and Culver's features cod, shrimp, and walleye sandwiches and dinners. Culver's, Mobile Highway, Bayou Boulevard, Highway 90 in Milton, and coming in May to Pine Forest and I-10. DoorDash, Uber Eats, and curbside service are available. Culver's, welcome to delicious.
Raise your glass as Wine on the Water, the Grand Tasting, returns to Wahoo Stadium on Saturday, March 7th. Enjoy fine wines, craft beers, and gourmet bites from Pensacola's top chefs, all set against the stunning backdrop of Pensacola Bay. Don't miss live entertainment and a croquet and rosé tournament, plus breathtaking sailing. Get your tickets now at givesacredheart.org. That's givesacredheart.org.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
This week, we have everything you need to know about the Sun Belt basketball tournament that is in town, how your kids can be at Fan Fest, and the Dribble Drive.
Tomorrow at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Song that is now the theme song of Spencer Field Road. There's going to be a roundabout, even though it's not a lake. All right, 6:55 on News Radio 92.3. Let's see. PJ's got traffic on the fives. PJ?
Big traffic issue continues to be the front gate of NES Pensacola backed up to Gulf Beach Highway. Back gate's also backed up along Blue Angel Parkway to Loop Road. Also getting reports of blinking lights at Gulf Breeze Parkway and Gondolier. Not showing any slowdowns, Pine Forest or Car City. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you're thinking about that next vehicle or putting off thinking about it, because I don't know, if you're like me, there are things in your life that you know you need to deal with, but then you don't really want to because, you know, dealing with like a used car salesman, right? You just, I don't want to do that. And the cost, you know, and the difficulty of making the decision, and as bad as your current car is, well, at least it's the known as opposed to the unknown. And so you put it off. Okay, well, you know, you should enjoy your car. It should run well. It shouldn't continue to cost you money in repairs. You should go to Frontier Motors and look around and see what they've got and get informed. You know, the first step in any good decision is getting information. So go look, go ask, you know, talk to them, find out how they're different. Find out, well, why is it that Dave Ramsey and Andrew McKay talk about them? Why do I see all these bumper stickers and these license plate frames that promote them? What makes them different besides the Big Buffalo? Well, you know, ask them and go see. First, for example, just big selection of good quality cars, cars that are almost new but not brand new. You know, you're going to be the second owner, maybe the third owner, okay? And they're going to have, you know, they warranty everything to 100,000 miles or 10 years. That's included, okay? You don't have to pay extra for that because they're only selling good quality cars. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, gentlemen. Iran's foreign minister says the U.S. will face bitter regret for sinking an Iranian warship. The now-destroyed ship was carrying some 130 sailors when it was torpedoed by an American submarine this week. Sri Lanka rescued 32 people. 87 bodies were recovered. As a South Carolina measles outbreak continues growing, state lawmakers are advancing rules to eliminate vaccine requirements. A state Senate panel on Wednesday rejected a bill that would require public school students to be vaccinated with no more exemptions for religious reasons. Pixar's Hoppers is projected to make between $35 and $40 million in its first weekend in theaters. Maggie Gyllenhaal's The Bride, starring Jesse Buckley and Christian Bale, expected to make $10 to $15 million in its debut this weekend. And Scream 7, Andrew, expected to bring in $25 million.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Hey, if you put Christian Bale and Maggie Gyllenhaal in a movie, I'm watching it. I don't care about anything else. David, thanks so much for the update. Somebody texted in. Matt does a remarkable job reminding us the importance of commercial diversity at the port. enjoyed the tour and the transit across the harbor. Agreed. I also got a note from one of my Navy friends who says that I and most Navy ships always take a harbor pilot if available, even in home port. Cover your butt. I mean, if something goes wrong and you didn't take a pilot, you know, and if you did, then at least you've got that, which is interesting. I wonder if that's different at all, you know, during wartime, you know, and of course the, you know, the Eagle is not a warship per se, it's a training ship, but, you know, would that be different? And, you know, the response is yeah, because movements are not advertised. And, you know, so scheduling, for example, you know, with the harbor pilot and that kind of stuff wouldn't be the kind of thing that you would telegraph in advance. Just like the, you know, the Blue Angels don't talk a lot about their schedule and, you know, some collateral endeavors are not talking about their schedule as much now. Same thing with ships. You know, wartime, you just loose lips, right? Be different. Actually, I don't have time to get into it right now, but I read a really interesting, really horrible, interesting story about one of those kind of incidents over time. We'll be back. Stick around.
Local Talk in the morning, 5 to 10.